You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Pastor Ken Klaus on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Lay Down Your Life. Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today, Mother's Day, we rejoice in Jesus, the Savior of little children. The Son of God lived lonely, so our sons and daughters might never be lonely. The Son of God laid down His life so that our sons and daughters might live. The Son of God rose so that the Christian family, you, your children, and your grandchildren might live in heaven eternally. It's Mother's Day. I could begin by talking about children and how they celebrate Mother's Day. I could tell you about the 8-year-old girl who gave her mother a box of candy with a card that read, Dear Mother, here is the box of candy I bought you. It's good candy, I know, because I ate 3 pieces. I could start by telling you of a 7-year-old who gave a card that said, Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. I could begin with advice for men who are buying for the mother of their children. Now, I can't tell you what to get, only what to avoid. Please do not buy anything electrical. Electrical things are practical. They are not romantic. Don't buy anything that involves a size. The odds of you getting a size right are smaller than winning the lottery. If you buy big, she'll say, Do I look like that to you? If you buy small, she'll comment, I haven't gotten into that in 10 years. Don't buy useful things. Don't buy jewelry. What you can afford, she won't wear. What she would wear, you can't afford. Don't spend too much. That's wasteful. Don't spend too little, because, after all, is that all she's worth? It's Mother's Day. You've all watched professional sports. It doesn't matter if it's hockey, football, baseball, or championship chess. When the cameras zoom in on the winner, he or she will stop whatever he or she is doing, hold up an index finger, and say, Number one! If the camera stays on them for a second or two longer, they will mouth the words, Hi, Mom. Why is it always Mom that comes to these players' minds at the moment of success? Why not Hi, Wife? Or Hi, Kids? Or Hi, Dad? Or even Hi, College Coach that brought me to this point where I'm making a gazillion dollars? Why do they always say hello to Mom? These things happen because people are loyal to their mothers. They know no matter what, a mother will remain loyal. No matter what her son or daughter does, Mom still manages to love. A person can commit an unspeakable crime, and everyone will abandon him, but not Mom. Look at Mary, Jesus' mother. As the Savior was dying to take away the sins of humankind, almost everybody else had deserted him. Embarrassed or frightened, most friends fled from his side, but Mary, the Lord's mother, she stayed at the foot of the cross. It's Mother's Day, and it's right that we celebrate it. But what are we celebrating? We can celebrate a mother's labor of love. Not long ago, a 7th grade science teacher began a study on magnets. He introduced the subject with this riddle. My name has 6 letters. I begin with a letter M, and I pick things up. What am I? The answer in science class should have been magnet. Half the children in the class wrote mother. And moms do pick up. Those who calculate such things say that by the time her newborn reaches maturity, Mom will have put in some 18,000 hours of work. That's work she would never have had to do if her child had not been born. So, is that what we celebrate this Mother's Day? Is Mother's Day merely a time to give thanks for a biological maid who struggles and suffers through her children's sins, stunts, and shenanigans? The Church, Christ Church, says, No. The Church, Christ Church, says We rejoice in Christian mothers who write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. In doing so, we remember birth mothers, adoptive mothers, and mothers who never had a child to call their own, but who nevertheless found it within themselves to love and speak of the Lord to the offspring of others. We remember mothers like that of Moses who cared so much for her son that she was willing to risk the wrath of an Egyptian pharaoh to keep him safe. We remember the unnamed mother who appeared before King Solomon. She loved her child so much that she was willing to give him up rather than see him harmed. We think back upon Lois and Eunice who, without male assistance, brought young Timothy up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Each of these mothers, and many others who could be listed, acted as the Lord's representatives to their children. Each, in their own way, gave their lives for their young, tried to reflect the gracious love of God. Yes, this Mother's Day, we celebrate these heroic mothers of history, but we celebrate more than the past. This Mother's Day, we celebrate those who in Christ's name are showing their children that the Lord's love can conquer loneliness. Loneliness. Can you think of a more depressing word? We come into the world alone and we go out alone, yet it seems to me most of humanity is more alone during the in-between times. Loneliness is not a respecter of persons. In the 1800s, the poet Alfred Lord Tennyson visited the palace of Queen Victoria, the most powerful woman in the world. After his audience, he commented, "Up there, in all her glory and splendor, she was lonely." Loneliness has no manners, morals, or mercy. Indeed, loneliness is present for the child who is passed over as invitations to a birthday party are sent out. Loneliness is there when the high school junior doesn't make the cut for the varsity team. Loneliness is there at a college when your teacher may know you by number, but not by name. Loneliness is the prod that pushes people into poor and unproductive affairs and associations. Loneliness is there when nobody understands or cares. Loneliness is a supper eaten in silence, being let down by someone who said they would love you forever. Loneliness is an empty house after the last child has boarded the bus for school. Loneliness is no longer having a dream. It is having no hope. Loneliness is forgetting the future. Loneliness is selling your stuff, leaving your house of 50 years and entering a home where nothing is familiar. Loneliness is standing in the cemetery by a freshly filled grave. Loneliness knows that a crowd is not company. Loneliness comes, uninvited and unwelcome. Loneliness sits smug and secure, smiling in a satisfied sort of way while your soul is brought down, cut down, and knocked down. Loneliness is why a mother's love is so important. Mothers are the only ones we can count on to accept us as we are, no matter what we've done wrong. Mothers are the only ones whose love can stand us with our sinfulness. Mothers are the only ones who will hope for us when we're beyond hope. Mothers are the only ones who will take us as we are. Only mothers will allow strong sons to sob like 7-year-olds and cradle a successful daughter as if she were still her little baby. Maybe that's why at the age of 50-plus this year, I almost sent to my mother a card which read, "Now that we have a mature, adult relationship, there's something I'd like to tell you. Mom, you're still the first one I think of when I fall down and go boom." As true as that card may have been, it doesn't tell the whole story. Mothers may not want me to share it, but the truth is, there are some problems that a mother's love, as patient and powerful as it may be, just can't sort out. There are places where a mother's love, as big as it is, simply cannot reach. There are hurts so hideous and harmful, so deep and dangerous, so painful and persistent, that a mother's love, as kind and curing as it may be, cannot heal. And there's a time when death comes and the grave is dug that a mother's love can do no more than shed its tears and stand by, almost helpless. Almost helpless. I say almost helpless because Christian mothers do have some assistance. Christian mothers recognize that their love and their hope, as strong as these are for their children, are small compared to the love of the Lord Jesus. Christian mothers know that their children's loneliness can only be touched and truly changed by the love of the Lord Jesus. Christian mothers know that their children don't have to be lonely. Comfort and companionship, forgiveness and salvation come to their children when those children know the Lord. Christian mothers know that the best thing they can ever do for their children is introduce their little ones to Jesus. After one of the great battles of the Civil War, a chaplain visited a dying man. "Son, what can I do for you?" The boy hoarsely whispered, "Sir, would you kneel down and give thanks?" The chaplain, who had been by other boys who were dying, was taken aback by this boy's unusual request. Nevertheless, the chaplain was able to inquire, "And what, son, should I give thanks for?" "Chaplain, please give thanks for my mother. Thank God that because of her, I am a Christian. What would I do now if I were not a Christian?" That mother had done her job well. A mother's love may accept us as we are, but God's love in Jesus changes us to what He wants us to be. Mother's love may put up with our sinfulness, but God's love forgives the sin and transforms the sinner. A mother's love may hope we are never alone, but God's omnipotent love is a sure, confident certainty that we will never be alone in this world or the next. Mothers may be forced to accept us as we are, but God's love reshapes and recycles us into souls who are redeemed, restored, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. What we are saying is that today is Mother's Day. A mother's love is a great blessing and a cause for continued rejoicing, but today is also the Lord's Day, and His love is the greatest of blessings and cause for eternal gladness. Look at what our Lord has done. He has done what no mother would consider. He sent His Son to die for someone else. Promised by prophets, Jesus was born for the express purpose of being the incarnate love of God for bratty, obnoxious, unrepentant, irreverent, and irresponsible sinners. God sent His Son Jesus into this world to seek and save the lost. God sent His Son to experience a loneliness that you and I shall never feel, could never survive. While most children born into this world are met with excitement and expectation, the birth of God's Son went unnoticed and unapplauded. When Jesus' birth was pointed out to the authorities, the ruler of His land promptly tried to kill Him. Such was the beginning of Jesus' lonely life. It was hardly the end. So that your children might be saved, God's Son was rejected. Jesus was rejected by His hometown that tried to throw Him off a cliff. Jesus was rejected by the pillars of the religious community who spread all kinds of lies and rumors about Him. Jesus was left unthanked by those He had healed, His mission misinterpreted by those He had fed, so that your children might always have a friend. Jesus was friendless. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as He shouldered the sins of helpless humanity, His closest followers left Him alone and fell asleep. His loneliness was increased when one of His disciples, a fellow by the name of Judas, betrayed Him with a kiss. What should have been a mark of respect from a student to his teacher was transformed into a cruel affront. But the loneliness that was to confront God's Son as He suffered for our sons and daughters had just begun. You and I have a right to expect a compassionate ear from the leaders of our church, but Jesus was alone. His priests brought in liars to spread untrue tales about Him. Jesus was alone. Knowing no one was there to take His part, His jailers blindfolded Him, struck Him, and made a joke about having done so. Was Jesus lonely? One of His friends, who had previously fallen asleep in the garden, now on three different instances, vehemently denied ever knowing Him. Was Jesus alone? His government washed its hands of Him. Was Jesus alone, even on the cross, as He hung dying so that all humanity might never be alone? He was assaulted by loneliness. One of the thieves that hung there with Him couldn't resist mocking Him. Let me say it again. The Son of God gave His life, endured loneliness, so your children would never be alone. But Jesus' loneliness was not yet complete. The worst was to come. In those dark hours, as He hung upon a cross, rejected by earth and heaven, He tasted a loneliness that no other person has ever experienced. Throughout history, The sickest of sinners, the cruelest of criminals, still has remained under the protection of God. Unrecognized, unheralded, and unappreciated, God continues to bestow his blessings upon those who love and those who reject him. Yet, on the day Jesus died to show God's love and alleviate your loneliness, he was rejected by his own Father. As he died for you and me, Jesus didn't say much, but one thing he did painfully and plaintively call out was, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was the ultimate loneliness. The Father had left his Son to the ultimate loneliness, and Jesus gave up the ghost and died. Jesus laid down his life for you. Hear that again. God's Son experienced the ultimate loneliness so that your sons, your daughters, might never be alone. God's Son suffered so that your children would never have to suffer eternally. God's Son laid down his life so that your son, your daughter, might live. And this is important. God's Son rose so that death would not have the last word. God's Son rose so you, who were once helpless, might know that the grave is not the end. The granite headstone is not all that can be written about a person's life. God's Son rose so your sons and daughters might have life. God's Son rose so all who believe in Jesus as their suffering substitute, their victorious friend, their living Lord, will never be alone. Dear mothers, look into your cribs and cradles. Look at your young children, your teens, your young adults, your children with families of their own. Look at your grandchildren growing up in a different world than we could have ever imagined. Look at them. Do you love them? Of course you do. You've laid down your lives for them. But God loves them with a greater love than yours. God loves them with a deeper love than yours. God loves them with a longer lasting love than yours. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us? His is a love so great that his Son died so that we might be called children of God. Today is Mother's Day, and it is to you mothers that I now speak. If this day your children, your grandchildren don't know Jesus as their Savior, do not hesitate in introducing him. You suffered much, endured great pain to give your children physical life. Now take those children to Jesus, who also suffered much and endured pain to give them spiritual life. Don't wait, don't ponder, don't hesitate, not 1 minute, not for 1 moment more. If your child were dying and there was a cure, you would spend everything, give everything, do anything to get your child that cure. Without the Savior, your child is dying spiritually. There is a cure. It is Jesus. He is the medicine that can give healing. He is eternal healing from loneliness, sinfulness, and damnation. God's grace can grant the cure for your child and grandchild. God, who loves your little child more than you, is offering that cure free of charge. If you don't know where to go for this medicine, the Lutheran Hour is ready to help. Call us today. Make it so your child can echo the words spoken 2,000 years ago by the disciple John. Let your children be able to say, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.